How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. When you look around your neighborhood, besides the buildings and the cars, you'll see the grass, the trees, and flowers. But at first glance, does anything stick out to you as edible or medicinal? Well, if you're like me, that answer is no. But if you know where to look, you can find dozens of plants that you could add to your dinner table or medicine cabinet. That's according to Dave Odd, professional forager and founder of Eat the Neighborhood Foraging Tours. This weekend, he's taking the curious on tours in several suburbs, and he joined us to tell us what to expect. Dave told our producer that you can help people find 50 different plants or mushrooms basically anywhere, which shocked me. Here's Dave to tell us more.
I have a very ADHD approach to foraging.
Tell me more.
So when I do events and I teach people about foraging, my goal is to always show you at least 50 different edible or medicinal plants or mushrooms in whatever area we're in. And that includes like downtown, concrete jungle, put me in the woods, put me in a prairie, put me in your backyard.
That seems like such a high number.
It does, but you would be surprised. Probably about half of the plants you see on a daily basis have some kind of food use or medicinal use, if not even a little bit higher than that number. And you can basically find a lot of these things anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose of the tours that I do is just to show people how easy it is to find food and medicine right in your own environment.
Right.
And on top of that, I always say, like, I don't expect you to remember that many things. But the fact of the matter is you're probably already familiar with a lot of these things. And if you can even remember 5 or 10 of those things, that could be the difference between life and death in a survival situation, which we're all pretty much already in.
So you brought me a bag of goodies here.
I did bring you some ramps.
I'm pulling them out. So what am I looking at here?
These are wild ramps. These are.
And where'd you get them?
These are from Lowell, Indiana, from my friend Charlotte's house.
Oh, she is 78 thank you, Charlotte.
Years old. She's very nice.
Oh.
And we've been going to her place for about 15 years now. And we were just driving by one day, saw a bunch of ramps, and decided to ring the bell and said, hey, can we pick some of your ramps? And she's like, what's that? And we're like, it's these wild onions that are all over your property. And she's like, well, that's why it smells weird when we mow the lawn. We've been managing that property for years, and many Chicago restaurants have gotten ramps from that very location.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sell to restaurants anymore. I just do the foraging tours full time.
Okay.
And the education, just teaching people. I feel like this is really, especially in these trying times as things are getting more expensive and more uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw what happened during COVID with the supply chains collapsing. This is really something that a lot of people can use in their daily life.
And I think we need to make a disclaimer here because, you know, if you've got to stick to public or you can't do this on public land.
Correct.
Is that right?
When we talk foraging,
it has to be private.
There's various routes for various places. Generally speaking, forest preserves, anything with preserve in the title.
So stay away.
Chicago, do not pick anything.
Right.
Some forest preserves and some of the collar counties might have different rules. But generally speaking, anything with preserve or like a nature center, anything that's like with the dedicated goal of preserving the land, you are not supposed to pick anything in. However, anything under the jurisdiction of the Department of Natural Resources, so we're talking about state parks, fish and wildlife areas, mm-hmm. things of that nature, they are open to foraging for individuals for mushrooms, berries, fruits, and nuts. Generally speaking, that applies to Illinois, I believe Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin,
okay.
Missouri, and Minnesota, I believe Iowa as well. However, you cannot pick anything within a dedicated nature preserve within one of those parks. But if you happen to be out on an outing at Starved Rock State Park with your family and you find a nice chicken of the woods mushroom or a berry bush that's, you know, like some black raspberries or something like that,
yeah,
you can go ahead and pick them as long
so
as it's for personal use.
Mm-hmm. I see. Interesting. So how, when we think foraging, how do you think that this can deepen someone's knowledge of their own neighborhood?
Well, you know, I always tell people when they do my tours, I say, this is going to be a life-changing experience for you today. And because once you open your mind to this and you become aware of it, it's really hard to shut it off and not look at things differently from then on. And I always equate it to like when you get a new car and then you see that car everywhere. For the rest of your
yes.
life. And it's just because you know what to look for now, and now it stands out to you. And that's very much the same way when you learn about anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
But foraging especially, because, you know, you have no idea how many of these things you walk by in your daily life.
Mm-hmm. And you can find different wild plants, Dave, based on whether the neighborhood was a forest or a prairie.
Yeah, a lot of the wild plants that you will find in a neighborhood will oftentimes depend on what habitat that neighborhood was in the past. Now, granted, there's a lot of invasive plants. There's a lot of things that escape from landscaping. There's a lot of things in the landscaping that are intentionally planted. But there's like that small, like 5-10% of weeds that you'll find that are like, oh, well, this is definitely a prairie plant, so this used to be a prairie.
Mm-hmm. What are five plants that you would say everyone should know about?
First and foremost, the one that I always like to tell people about is plantain. Now, not the banana plantain.
Oh, talking to a Jamaican. I definitely know about plantain.
We're talking about plantago. Plantago is the scientific name of it. So if you're looking it up, if you Google plantago right now, those plants that pop up, you will be like, oh, I know those. I've seen those on my lawn. It's one of those plants that everyone, like when you were a kid, you sat and picked at them and stuff. If you were ever like sitting on a, you know, in a lawn for a picnic or 4th of July or whatever. And these plants are not only edible, and you can eat the leaves. You can even use the seeds as like a kind of like a basil seed or chia seeds, where they gelatinize when you soak them. And you can use them as like an egg substitute or a binder for like baked goods and vegan recipes and such. The seeds are also used in Metamucil, so they're very high in fiber. You can use the leaves as like an okra-like thickener for soups and stews.
How does it taste?
It's very green. It's kind of lettuce-y. It's not like eating – it doesn't taste like grass like you're eating a lawn. But it is – it's not the greatest green you're ever going to have.
Yeah.
But the best property of it is it has an amazing medicinal property for topical applications. So if you have a bee sting or a bug bite or a wasp sting, psoriasis or eczema or a sunburn, or you got a scrape or a bruise, this stuff is like an amazing cure. I was in my yard the other day. I got stung in the stomach by a paper wasp. And I was literally standing on top of some plantain, and I mashed up a leaf in my fingers. You can also chew it into a paste. And I just put it directly on there, put a little piece of tape over it.
Mm-hmm.
And within a couple of minutes, it was like nothing happened. It literally, it's not just a symptom reliever. It's actually a cure. It like draws out the venom and it stops the swelling. It's really amazing stuff. And I always recommend, especially if you have kids.
Yes.
It's a really good thing to teach kids about, because if they get into a situation where they get stung by a bee or a wasp.
And we also got a little eczema and psoriasis in the home.
Yeah, exactly.
Mild cases. Mm-hmm. But when you said those buzzwords for me, I was thinking, oh, this is
right
up my alley.
This is something anyone can find. There's multiple different species that you'll find commonly. You can go find this in your backyard probably right now. And you can collect some of those leaves, and you can blend them up in your Nutribullet with some, you know, some cocoa butter or something like that, and make yourself a salve that you can use whenever you need it. I was walking on a trail once, and there was a grandmother and grandfather, and their kids were screaming and I'm like, hey, what happened? And they run into a bee nest or a yellow jacket nest, and they all got stung. And I immediately went and ran and got some of these leaves, brought them over and mashed them up for them. And like a couple minutes, the kids weren't
crying
anymore.
Certainly convinced.
So that one is a really good one. Then if you're just looking for things that you can just eat out of hand, like right now,
yeah,
the redbud trees are popping right now. Redbud is a really common native tree here in the eastern United States, and this is something that you can find growing pretty much on every block.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these beautiful pink flowers, and they look like a pea blossom or a bean blossom, and that's because they're in the legume family, and you can eat those flowers, and they taste like a bean or a pea blossom. They're really quite pleasant.
Really?
You can just eat them straight up right off the tree. You can throw them in a salad. You can make an entire salad of just flowers.
What do you say to the skeptics? Because you know some people are listening to us and thinking, there's no way I'm going to do that.
Yeah. You know, people often say like, well, how do you know like where it's been or what's happened to it? Or
what about chemicals or dogs?
Yeah,
peeing.
Like a bird poop on it or whatever. And it's like, compared to the things they intentionally put on our food in the grocery store, a little bit of dog pee is not going to kill you. Just give it a
Dave.
Rinse. You know, like
I don't know.
The thing is that, like, honestly, like the type of additives and preservatives and pesticides and herbicides and all that kind of stuff that they put into our food that we eat on a daily basis is literally nothing compared to what you're going to find on a wild, you know.
Well,
so you don't have to really worry about that stuff too much. I always tell people just use common sense about where you're picking things
right,
at. Like, don't
exactly.
pick things out of like a really, you know, messy alley with poop all over the place. Don't pick things off the side of the highway where there's obviously runoff
right.
and all that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, tell me about, while I have you here, the events that you've got this weekend in Long Grove and Mount Prospect. What should we know?
Yes. So Long Grove, we meet right outside of the Long Grove Historical Society in the parking lot there. And I walk you around the downtown area and show you all the different plants you can find right there, not only growing in the wild, but also in the landscaping as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then that evening, I'm in Mount Prospect at Capri Kitchen and Coffee, which is a new location for me. And I've been working with Capri Cafe in Albany Park for a few years now. And we do a walk right around the restaurant,
okay.
see all the different plants in the neighborhood. And then we come back to the restaurant and have a meal made from some of the things that we saw, which will
nice.
Include heavily ramps.
So that's part of the tour. You get to sit down and eat some of what you just found.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, I'm at Carnivore in Oak Park. I've been working with those guys for 11 years now since
mm-hmm.
they opened. And we do the same thing there. It's actually one of my favorite tours to do because we walk around not even a quarter of the block, and we see 75 things by the time we get back to the front of the restaurant.
Wow.
And that's not even including sometimes we'll go to a secondary location to look at ramps or mushrooms or whatever. But it's amazing. They always do a great job with the food. We have a little picnic basket lunch right across the street in the park of
mm-hmm.
the things that we
so
saw.
Oak Park is the place to
yeah.
to forage.
And then at Capri Cafe on Sunday evening, where we do a walk around Capri Cafe, and then we come back and have a meal made from
nice.
All the things that we saw.
Now, these tours are going on through October. Tell us where folks can sign up.
You can go to eattheneighborhood.com and check out the website there, and I got all the, if you just Google Eat the Neighborhood, it should come
your
up
face
as well.
Will pop up.
Yes. Odd Produce is another way to get to the website. oddproduce.com/events will get you to all of the events that we have.
Nice.
I didn't give you all five plants yet, so I have to.
Well, I'll have to save that for the website. We'll put it
okay.
online because I got to go.
I was going to say mulberries and Juneberries.
Okay,
and
great.
Hen of the Woods mushrooms.
And we'll,
look those
we'll
up.
Give you a full explainer on the website. Dave Odd is a professional forager and founder of Eat the Neighborhood Foraging Tours. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. If you liked this conversation, you can support our show by giving it a like and subscribing wherever you listen. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, wishing you a happy Saturday.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.